Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey, got a radio show. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Whew. Hey, you know, today I just want to say something that I don't think I've ever shared this way before. The title is very simple, and that is, it's been worth it to me. You know, I just kept thinking that this morning, that it's all been worth it to me. And what I mean by that is this relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father, it's been worth it to me. I can't even tell you the value that it has had in my life. I can't tell you how it's helped me to understand not only my purpose, but to better understand my past. That's critical, man. Because I'm grateful for that, because so many people can't get beyond their past, an event, a set of circumstances, some calamity that besets them. Maybe it's been grief, something. But it ties so many people up. It's been so worth it to me. It's been worth having someone to go to when no one else was there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has given me a place to go when no one else has been there. Oh, hey, man, we pulling for you. Hey, man, hang in there. Hey, man, keep your head up. All of that. But I got to tell you, man, you get yourself in some circumstances and situations in this thing called life when no one can help you but God. When the only person that could possibly understand or know what you're feeling is God. The only person that'll sit there with you through it all and understand everything about it has been God. It's been worth it to me, man. It's been worth it to me. You know, look, and the moments of ridicule that I go through because of that, my faith and me saying it too many times, some, you know, people don't want to hear it that many times, or he can't talk about nothing else, or ain't nobody trying to hear all that. You know, I get emails all the time, you know, why you think you a preacher? It's just people just don't get it. So I can't help it, man. I can't explain myself and my walk to everybody that I meet, because everybody that I meet ain't going to get it. Why would I stop to explain my walk to somebody who ain't even trying to walk? I just don't have time. But, man, I can tell you this flat out, as sure as I'm sitting here, y'all, it's been worth it to me. It's been the biggest improvement in my life. I mean, man, as I look back over my life, man, forming a strong bond with God has been the most beneficial thing to me. You know, these things you read in writings in the Bible or whatever you're reading. You know, when you read scriptures and things of that nature, it's been around a long time. It holds so much truth to it. I mean, man, it's like, how could this have been written so long ago and still pertain directly to today? I mean, that's amazing. That is amazing to me. That has to be God at work to have written something so complete, so dead on point, that if you read it today, it means exactly what pertains to today. That's amazing, man. That's why my spiritual walk, it's just worth it to me. And I keep saying it's worth it, because if you're sitting out there and you're tripping like I was tripping, deciding, nah, let me do it. I got a few more things I want to do, a couple more girls I want to holler at, a couple more things I want to get into. I got a couple more deals I want to do. I got a little bit more dirt I want to roll up on me a little bit first before I, man, I wish I had known. I really, really wish I had known. I really wish I had understood exactly what forming a relationship with God would do for me. But what it has meant to me, man, it's been worth it. It's been worth every person who out there who hating on me, that don't even know me. It's because I have a relationship with him that I'm fine with that. I don't care for it, but it ain't going to stop me, though. See, because I know for a fact that haters make you greater. I know for a fact that haters validate your mere existence. I know for a fact that half of them is out of envy and jealousy because of something you're doing that they wish they could do or they want credit for. So they just, anything, all that, bam. And now you just all over the place with people. Man, I'm so grateful for this relationship that it has not allowed outside influences that do not have my best interests at heart to throw me off course. It's just been worth it, man. It has just been worth it. And if you're sitting out there and you're wondering about the benefits of it, I can't even tell you what it's like to know that when bad things are happening to me, the calming peace that I feel, that I know that that's going to be all right too, that I know that this too shall pass, that I know in my heart of hearts, man, that there's got to be a reason for this. And if I can just hang on in there, he going to unfold that for me and he going to let me see it. But the number one thing I always know is I'm going to survive this one too, that this too shall pass. Man, it's been worth it to me. It has been worth it to me, man, to have this thing called faith, which is the belief in things that you cannot see, and to know, man, along the way that, oh, my goodness, man, even though I don't know what's next, or even I'm not really sure about the next step, I do know for a fact that some more is coming. I do know for a fact, it is a fact, that God will take care of me. It is a fact that he will never, ever leave me or desert me. If I just stay here where I'm supposed to be, he's coming. The Calvary's coming over the hill. He coming over the hill, and when he come over that hill, he going to wipe out all this mess down here that's trying to hurt me. That I don't have to worry about my enemies anymore. That my enemies that are all around, you can surround me. You can shoot all the arrows you want. Now, it's not to say that none of them ain't going to come close, and I ain't going to say that, you know, I ain't going to be a little under some pressure, a little nervous about being shot at so hard. But at the end of the day, I know this for sure. Ain't none of them going to stick in me. You can shoot them, but ain't none of them going to stick in me. No matter what you do, no weapon formed against me. Nothing. You can't do nothing with me, man. I'm so cool. It's been worth it for me, man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, boy and girl, look here. Mm-hmm. You are listening.
Country it up.
Country morning.
Country it up, man. Country
hey,
up.
Listen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and have your attention, please. You're listening to WCORN, where we do corn better than anybody. This is the Stevie Morning Show. This is Slick and Illos's baby boy. He's the youngest of five out of West Virginia, holler number 9. They don't make no more like him. We're doing the show as countries. Doing a country morning show this morning. We're taking over all that adult contemporary R&B. We doing bluegrass.
Hooping and hollering and yelling and stuff. And
you know, all that. We doing it our way now,
not
baby.
Doing this it is here today.
And so just wanted to welcome everybody to the show this morning. Morning, ladies.
Morning, Steve.
No, don't want you to try to participate.
Okay,
this ain't
good.
What you do. Just be your natural self.
It's not what the show does.
It's going to get real hokey in a minute. I'm going to have to cut this other one out, too, because he's loud.
Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Shirley. How is you today?
I am fine, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Carly?
Yes, good morning.
Welcome, Chickadee. Thank welcome you. To the show.
Chickadee.
Junior.
Morning, Unc.
There's a voice I like right there. Committed to pimping. Hello, Jay.
Good morning, Steve. I'd like to do a shout out to Billy Hartford. He lost his hog last night. We're up late last night with a hog hunt. How you doing, Steve?
Right there. He's loud, like I said. And, of course, my brother. Hello, brother.
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
Well, it's all good today. We're doing this show, representing, sitting in for Steve. We've never let one in our house before, but I tell you what, Family Feud, we let him in.
If you gotta have one, he's the guy to let in.
I tell you what, he's that fella right there has a look on his face sometimes.
I like him.
I tell you what, my mama likes
him. He's the kind of guy you can hang out with. Nobody say a damn thing about it.
You know what? My mama likes him, and it's just, he's a nice, but boy, you know, he say whatever come on his
nice
mind.
Nice dresser, my
cousin and my wife, who are the same person, love him too. I tell you that.
That's natural.
That's natural here. I mean, and most people got that in their families.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah. You say, meet my cousin and my wife, and it's one person.
That's right.
There.
And yeah. I'll tell you something else he done, too. Come out with that show with them kids on it.
Oh, that show is hilarious.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you what, that little or big shot.
Hilarious.
That thing there, boy. That thing there.
That's a good one.
I pinch a turd.
What?
Trying not to laugh at that thing right there.
What'd you say?
You
please
heard
don't make
me.
Me repeat
you
that.
What?
When that guy
please
gets them kids to going, man, my depends are full. I'm here to tell you, man.
Because I can't miss a beat. We'll come back with the show, and it'll be regular when we come back. We ain't going to do this, y'all, all day.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Don't say it again.
He pitch a what?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with something funny, guys. The opening ceremonies for the 2018 Winter Games will take place tonight. Wow.
I'm watching it.
I love the Winter Games. Yes.
Love it.
Starting tonight?
Yes, but the competition
Friday night, baby.
Yes, competition already underway. If you want to watch, that can be challenging as South Korea is in the Korea Standard Time Zone. South Korea is actually more than half a day ahead of Eastern time in the United States.
One seat to neck a day? Oh, okay.
See, there he goes. There he goes.
So y'all do one day, then next day I get see. See how that go. It's a lack of that.
Well, this is what it actually means. If you didn't like understand, Jay, that means you have to stay up late to catch the action live.
Oh, why we got to stay up late? Why else can watch at the same time? No, got to stay late. Up late time.
We got a sister that's what? Skating,
yes,
right?
Yes. This year marks, she's an ice skater, a speed skater, right?
Yeah.
Speed skater. Oh my gosh, she skated so fast in the trials.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Man. Yes.
Whoa.
This year marks Lindsey Vonn's Olympic return. Didn't she? She used to date Tiger Woods, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. I don't know what that has to do with her coming back to the Olympics.
Yeah, she put their relationship on ice.
Yeah.
That was so good.
I hate pun jokes. They so damn corny to me. I can't stand pun jokes.
That one was good.
That's very funny, Jay.
She missed the 2014 games due to a knee injury. And don't forget the women's Nigerian bobsled team. Don't forget them.
Where did they practice?
Yeah. They hope their bobsled team will inspire more Africans to try Winter Olympics, which is cool. Yeah. So, Steve, I know you're big on the Olympics. What do you like most about watching the Winter Olympics?
I'm looking, my favorite events is ski jumping.
Okay.
I like ski jumping. Mm-hmm. I love watching that.
That takes skill.
Believe it or not, I love watching curling.
That's the people that be mopping the ice?
I just want to be
the dude to slide the stone. I'm not going to do sweeping. I can promise you that.
Sweeping.
Yeah, somebody else going to be doing sweeping, not me.
You like ice skating?
Ice skating is all right. Mm-hmm. I don't like, it's all right.
I love ice skating.
Which
it's
one?
All right, the ice skate.
The routine.
It's all right. I watch it because
figure skating
and
all that.
Figure skating.
Speed skating. You like that one?
I like speed skating.
Awesome.
I like the downhill. I love that they put some winter sports in it. You know, like pike and all that snowboarding.
Yeah.
And they actually got snowboard racing now. I think that's an Olympic sport. It might be just winter game, winter
you
X
like
games.
The luge? You know, the one where you
I love the luge, and I love the bobsled. Yes. I don't know who that fool is that lay face first on this damn sled and go down a piece of wood. It cannot be my face first coming down here at 75 miles an hour. Face first.
I love that.
No.
My face?
Yeah, I got to be on the one where I'm laying back. At least let a foot tear off or something.
Your head can't be the first to go.
No. But I love the Winter Olympics. Now, I don't like watching cross-country skiing, but I do watch it.
Yeah.
And I don't like the triathlon where you got to shoot.
Yeah.
The bow and arrow, the gun, and skiing.
You don't know where they
are.
Yeah, we don't know.
That don't make no sense.
Stop. You remember Northern Track?
Yeah.
You know that simulates. Remember that little thing called the Northern Track that simulates?
Oh, yeah. The cross country skiing.
I had one of them when I lived in Chicago.
I know the Northern Track. The exercise. It was an exercise piece of equipment.
It simulates cross country skiing.
Yeah, but they're actually cross country skiing, and it looks like they're doing it.
And they have a course that they go on. And you could see them coming around course certain turns and going up hills. I like watching
that. How far is that cross country?
It's cross-country, fool.
It's far.
How many miles is that? I know it's far.
Yeah.
Cross-country, fool.
Try to go to New York.
It's a long way.
On skis?
Yeah. No skis.
Okay. Yeah, but we will watch it tonight. I will be there in front of the TV watching it. I love that. And I love the opening ceremony.
Me
too.
Yeah. Watching the countries coming.
I don't never like the opening
ceremony. I love it. I like to watch it. Get one of them jackets.
Yeah. Them jackets be nice.
Them jackets
nothing
be
about
nice.
Walking out there watching them.
They don't even sell them.
No, you can't get one at all.
No, man. You got to be an athlete. Olympic.
I don't like that. But other than that, I'm going to definitely be watching. You know, so Korea's on what time zone, you said, Shirley?
Well, it's a more than a day and a half ahead of Eastern time.
So when it was on.
So in LA, we're on Pacific time. So Eastern time is 3 hours ahead of us.
Okay, yeah, you watch day, we watch it yesterday.
Is that Kim Jong-un? Who is that?
Let's hope not.
I hope that's not Kim Jong-un.
The Olympics are in South Korea.
Jesus, he is. Are you quite done?
I'm done. I won't do no more. I'm done. You said like it done. Okay.
All right. Okay. So we'll all be watching tonight. And congratulations.
Yes,
all right.
But not us. We watch Amara. Oh, okay.
You hired him, Steve. Just always keep that in the back of your mind, okay? Just always keep that in the back of your mind. And are you done? What are you thinking about?
Cause I'm done.
You're awfully quiet right now, Steve.
Who?
You.
I'm not getting in this joke with him.
Everybody stepped away.
I've been in trouble about this one before. I'm not being in trouble with this one no more. They in the bushes waiting on me to say something stupid. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not giving them a pen to stick me with.
Let's go back and forth with Jay a little bit.
Come on, Steve, making a joke.
See right there?
All right. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right, moving on. We're
well, tonight's Olympic lineup, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, is curling. That's what you love, Steve. So, and we'll give you more throughout the day. Coming up next, Nephew Tommy's Run That
USA
Prank Back.
USA ain't going to win curling.
No, they're not going to win curling at
that's
all.
Not what we do.
No, that's not what we do.
No, we think we do. We look good, but we didn't get our ass wore out.
I want us to win speed skating.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up. At the top of the hour, Quincy Jones.
Quincy.
OMG.
The Q.
Was you ever with Quincy Jones, man?
Y'all ever hung out, huh?
Y'all ever hung out?
So quiet.
You mighty quiet over there, Steve.
What y'all do when y'all hung out?
A couple times. Yeah.
He's even been on the show. Don't you remember when he was on the show, Tommy? Okay. Steve, you said that when you got older, you're going to say whatever was on your mind. Well, maybe Quincy got that memo as well because he's talking about everything and everybody. Quincy Jones says he and Ivanka Trump were hooking up back in 2006. He also says the Beatles were thieves and that he knows who killed Kennedy. But right now, we'll get to that. But right now, it's time for you, nephew, and the run that
it's hard
back.
To follow that,
yeah.
Though.
Uh-huh.
About who
uh-huh.
shot Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, all right, Thunderbolt. We running that prank back. Thunderbolt.
Wow.
Yeah, they text me all day by Thunderbolt yesterday. Thunderbolt, here it is.
A.K.A. Quincy Jones.
Not to be confused with Thundercats.
That's a whole different one.
Hello?
Hey, man, let me hide. I must be
not here. Who's calling?
Hey, this Thunderbolt from the club, man. What time she get in?
Thunderbolt.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this Thunderbolt, man. What time she get in?
What you mean, what time she get in? She ain't in here now, but, you know, I mean, I'll. What you need?
Hey, I'm trying to actually get an address and stuff, man. She got me dancing this weekend on Saturday night, and I want to see it, make sure I got the address and everything. Everything's still on. You know, I done already gave
she
my
got,
slot up
at
the club.
She got you dancing.
Say what now?
What you mean she got you dancing?
She asked me to do some male dancing on Saturday night, so I went on and took off at the club. And, you know, she don't already got
My gal ain't, she ain't had you do no male dancing. My gal, she, nah. My gal, she goes to school at night on weekends. So, you know, but nah, she ain't.
Okay, hold on. Okay, who is this here?
My name's David. David, my fiance.
What?
Yeah, that's my gal.
Hold on. Squeaky finna get married?
Squeaky?
Who the Squeaky? Wait. Okay, you.
My gal ain't I'm David.
Right, okay. That's Squeaky. Squeaky finna get
married. How you know my gal? You say you a dancer?
I dance at man. I'm Thunderbolt.
Yeah. But how do you know my gal?
She come to the club on Saturday. She asked me about doing some dancing for this coming Saturday, so she already gave me half the money.
She come to the club on Saturdays. Nah, my gal, she go to school on Saturdays, man. She don't, no.
Homeboy, listen. First of all, I'm blown away by you trying to tell me Squeaky married. That you got me really toe up with
first
that.
First off, I don't know no Squeaky.
That's what we call her at the club, man. Hey, man, look, I'm not finna get into all of that. What I'm really calling about is she got me working this weekend doing some dancing. And I'm trying to just make sure that we on for this weekend because I done gave my spot up at the club.
You trying to tell me my girl hanging out at a buck naked club with dance?
Man, Squeaky been coming up in there, man, for the last buck.
Squeaky, she been there long enough to have a nickname?
Dog, I've been knowing Squeaky 4 or 5 years. Squeaky been coming. Man, this Thunderbolt, me and Squeaky go way back.
Oh, no, man. Well, we going to handle when she get in here. And you can, you know, handle yours, however you got to handle it, talk to whoever you got to get your little money or whatever. Or,
No. Hold on, man. I can't get my slot back, dog. Hold on. Wait a minute, man.
That's not
hey,
the stop.
Is you listening, man? I can't get my slot back at the club. Now, Squeaky got to give me the remaining balance, man, even if she ain't going to do it. I need my other
remaining
one.
Remaining balance? Squeaky ain't finna give you the remaining balance of nothing.
Hey, man,
the
I need the rest of
is
my
money that she gave you.
What
so
you saying?
She ain't finna, you can just count that out. She ain't finna give you a thing.
Hey, man, Thunderbolt going to get his money, man. I need my 150.
Thunderbolt going to get his whooped.
Well, then that's what you got to do. Then that's what you got to do, man.
That's
I tell you what.
That's for Thunderbolt. But he ain't finna get no cash talking about calling you Squeaky and all this whole I ain't working for to give money away to some Thunderbolt Lightning or whatever.
Hey, man, look, man, it's Thunderbolt. It ain't Lightning. It's Thunderbolt. Lightning work on Wednesday night. This Thunderbolt.
I don't know who you done talked to already about that, but you need to holler at them. But don't be calling here asking my gal to give you some money. Ain't giving you because she don't make nothing.
I'm coming over there now and get my money from Squeaky. I ain't hearing this.
Don't make nothing.
Squeaky
I make all the money around here, so you ain't finna get nothing from over here, partner, so you can wipe that out your mind.
I'm coming over there to get my money from Squeaky today.
You coming over here?
I'm coming over there to get my money from Squeaky. So what? Man, look, man, I ain't got time to play. I done lost my slot at the club.
See what you get. See if you get some money. Get your laid out.
Thunder coming over there to get the rest of his
Thunder,
money.
You better not bring your over here, because you come. Well, I tell you what, bring your on over here, and I'm going to show you Lightning. I ain't know you got some money already for she around here giving you money the way I'm struggling. I tell you what, you bring your over here if you want to and watch what's going on.
Hey, man, all I'm saying is I'm finna come over there and wait outside the house for Squeaky to get there to get the rest of my money. That's what I'm saying to you.
You gonna come over and sit outside what?
I'm finna come over there and wait outside for Squeaky to get there so I can get the rest of my money.
You gonna bring your over here and sit outside my house.
That's what I'm finna do if that's what it takes for me to get my money from Squeaky.
I tell you what, you bring your over here there and sit outside my house. And when you get your here, you blow the horn. That's what you do. You blow the horn so I can come out there and meet you and let you know what's going down. I'm gonna bust your and
hey,
when
man,
she get here, she can see your laid out like a mother. Come on over here and get your money.
I'm coming to get my money. All right, Squeaky owe me $150 and I'm finna come get it.
I don't give a what she owe you. About $150, that's my she giving you. You ought to be happy with that. You want to come over here talking about you want some more money? You don't like
somebody owe Thunderbolt $150, and Thunderbolt gonna get his money.
Better try to go and dance at the club on this weekend. Bring your over here. You will not be dancing at that. Talking about sitting outside of my house.
Squeaky gonna give me my $150. You ain't even got nothing to do with this. No way. This transaction is between me and Squeaky. It ain't got nothing to do with you. No way.
Hey, her name is and it's got everything to do with me. You call my house with this. Talking about she owe you some money and you. I'm gonna about nothing. Bring your on over here. I got your money. Come get your money. I got your money right here. I'm gonna be sitting out front waiting on you.
Squeaky the one asked for me to dance Saturday night. Squeaky, I told her $300 plus tips. Now I ain't gonna get no tips. But I tell you what, I am gonna get my $300 though. I got $150 and I'm gonna get the other $150 when Squeaky get on.
You ain't getting it from me. You gonna get your buses from me.
I got one more thing I need to say to you. Is you listening to me?
Say, man, what? I'm listening. I can hear you. What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your homeboy.
Who? Who is this?
This is Nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your homeboy.
God. You need to quit. Boy, y'all play too much. That man, y'all had me hot round this. I'm putting on boots and
man. I got over the gear. I'm finna go out here and squabble. I got pipes and bad. I'm finna go out here and fight a whoop a man.
You all right, man?
Y'all wrong. I'll be glad when somebody prank your Tommy. I'm gonna get that. Y'all got me. Y'all got me.
Hey, man, I got one more thing I gotta ask you, man. What is the baddest? I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
There it is. Thunderbolt.
Love
it.
Oh, love Lord. It.
Stupid.
Thunderbolt. Thunder stupid.
Stupid as usual.
Voted most stupid.
There it is. You can get my prank CD. It is in Walmart right now. Get it. It's called Won't He Do It. I'm pranking church people. Won't I do it? Yes, I will.
Keep you out of heaven right there, Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh, it ain't going to just be that.
Well, that'd be a great prank for you, won't it?
What do you mean, Steve?
You keep listening to this show. It ain't just a prank. It's his life.
You don't see me getting into the kingdom.
He get to heaven and they prank his ass about getting in there.
Peter be up there just some nephew Tommy.
All right, well, coming up at the top of the hour, Quincy Jones is going to unload about everything. Everything and everybody.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
We've been talking about this. Quincy Jones has been saying a lot of interesting things lately. You remember last week we talked about his 22 girlfriends. He said he had 22 girlfriends.
We was cool with that.
Yeah, around the world he talked about that. But at one time he says he also dated the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump. Now, this is an interview he gave with Vulture magazine. Quincy says that the matchmaker was none other than Tommy Hilfiger.
Come on here.
Yeah. He says, I used to date Ivanka. Tommy Hilfiger, who was working with my daughter Kadada, said Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. And yes, he was interested.
Keep going. There's more.
Steve, please keep listening because this line coming up is for you.
I'm listening.
But didn't... and yes, he was interested, but didn't dig her dad back then either. She's
didn't
a
dig the cat.
Right.
You know, Quincy used them words.
Yeah. She's a fine mother. Blanker, he notes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life.
Now, was that by that rug? Was it? Was never mind.
Hey, dog. I'm sorry. Dog, just.
That's you Melania. Think of Melania, yeah.
You.
Yeah. Q also shared that he used to hang out with Donald Trump, whom he described as a crazy mother blanker. Limited mentally, megalomaniac, and narcissistic. I can't stand him. Wow. Asked what his first thoughts about the Beatles, Quincy remarked, they were the worst musicians in the world.
Yeah. I thought they rock and roll Hall of Famers.
No, they couldn't play instruments.
They were no playing mother blankers. He also alleges, he's 84.
No, listen to
me. I didn't know that.
No, if you listen to the Beatles' instrumentation, that's not what they were for. It was the Beatles were the look, the London, the style, the hair. We love you,
It was something we'd never seen before.
Right.
And it was
but
totally
the drumming and the guitars, No.
Ringo?
Very basic.
Ringo was known to be the worst drummer, and not only that, they would overdub his drumming in a lot of sessions.
Oh, so them them mother blankers wasn't no real.
Hey, Quincy said it.
Okay.
Yeah, he said they were no playing.
Wow. I mean, look, man, they had never been seen before, and they became iconic. Now, don't take that away from them. Uh-huh. The Beatles are iconic.
Yeah, legends. They were great songwriters.
They will go down in history. And when you broke them down, McCartney and all them boys.
You bad boys.
Lennon and them boys were some bad boys.
Right.
Just as a group, instrumentation-wise is what I believe Quincy's saying. Now, that's really true because if you listen to Beatles records, man, they weren't great musicians. You're talking to a guy who's one of the greatest composers of our time.
Oh, absolutely. And
which
producers.
Is why the Beatles covered up, when they went live, they did a lot of cover songs of black artists that, you know, Shake It Up, Baby, by the Isley Brothers.
And they stole a lot.
And they stole a lot. They're absolutely right, you know.
They were no playing, and that's what he said. Okay, and then talking about Michael Jackson, because he knew Michael Jackson very well.
Very well.
Yeah, he produced Thriller, biggest selling album of all time, all that.
Yes.
Quincy also alleges that Michael Jackson stole a lot of stuff. Michael Jackson did. He calls him greedy. He adds that he stole a lot. When asked, what was your greatest musical innovation? Quincy answers, everything I've done.
Mother.
Yes.
Mother.
Everything. Okay.
Back to Thriller.
Yeah.
He's a bad man.
He's
oh,
a
yeah.
real mother.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dude.
You can't take that away
Mike
from
steal?
Him.
Well, he didn't really steal things. There were things that were done
Mike
before
stealing.
Michael. Like the lean. The lean that Michael Jackson does in his performance. That was done in a movie called The Wizard of Oz. He wasn't the first to do that. There were dancers that were doing the moonwalk long before Michael.
Oh, yeah. Jeffrey Daniels.
I mean,
taught him how
James
to do it.
Brown
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Shaw,
but,
Jeffrey Daniels.
But he put it in a place and a scale
right.
that was
mm-hmm.
new to people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You
got to
remember, Michael Jackson was the first black person ever allowed on MTV. See, y'all getting
know.
Away from
educated,
y'all
man.
Don't know, man.
Yeah, and it was
this
hard.
World we live in. That blacks were not allowed on MTV.
Yeah, it was hard for them
you
to
didn't
get
have
on
no
before
black.
No,
Michael.
It wasn't hard.
Yeah. It was they were
wasn't allowed.
Being racist about it. Yeah. yeah.
Michael Jackson was the first black person to get a video played on MTV. Mm-hmm. The first. They did not play them, and it was a known fact.
I didn't know that.
It's just mm-hmm. like when we started yeah. comedy. Two blacks in 85, 86, 87 couldn't be on the same show. They would send one of you home. If two blacks came into that comedy club, one of y'all had to go home.
Because a black could get booked who had a white name like what?
Steve Harvey.
Carl Strong. Yeah, they thought
yeah.
it was white.
They would book us, and then we'd get down there, and Carl Strong and Steve Harvey be on the same show. Steve Harvey's not the headliner. I got to go home. Mm-hmm. Now I done drove all the way down here to Montgomery. From Cleveland.
That's
I got
a damn
home.
Shame, man.
Man, my mouth.
It ain't giving
that's
nothing.
A damn
no,
shame.
Man, you don't understand.
No.
So don't, you know, and then young people today, because you're not educated to this, you don't know. You think it's just been this whole love affair the whole time. And it's not. It's just Michael Jackson came along and put so much stuff in the forefront. But let me tell you something, man. Moonwalking and all that stuff, that was in the hood, man.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was already in the hood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mike just first one did it out there, and he was famous for it. Now, he did it well now.
He blew it up.
Yeah. He didn't invent the moonwalk. Some black people been moonwalking. All that, man.
And Jeffrey Daniels
cold.
From Shalimar.
Taught
it to him. All right.
Now, thank you, Quincy.
More. there's more from Quincy.
Oh, there's more.
There's more from
Come
Quincy.
On.
We don't have time right now, but there is
Mother.
More from Quincy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve introduced Jay, so Jay can introduce the butterfly.
Well, all right, this is
what?
I've gotten wind of some things, and so I'm just gonna go ahead and say I'll do it myself, Jay.
Go ahead, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Eugene, aka the butterfly.
Good morning, Stephen, Shirley, Carla, Jr., J. Anthony Brown. Good morning to everyone. Tommy, good morning to everyone on the panel. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Butterfly.
Morning, Butterfly.
Good
flap
morning,
on,
butterfly.
Flap on, brother. Butterfly. Flap on. I won't say that.
Well, that's a very good song.
Yes, it's a great song.
That's a great song.
So, can I get a drum roll as well?
No,
we gotta,
you just need the song.
No, I have a major announcement. But
I know, that's why we playing the song.
But I can play it with a drum roll.
So stupid.
This is wild,
Steve,
right?
This
Steve,
wild, right?
Be nice.
This ain't no why nothing. Anyway.
What's going on?
Anyway, I have been accepted into Bishop School.
You mean seminary?
Same thing.
Uh-huh.
Bishop what school?
Bishop School. So I am going to be taking a leave of absence, and I'm going to be going.
Spell it.
Bishop. B-I-S-H-O.
Oh.
B-I-S-H-O. I thought you said something else.
Oh.
What you thought I said? Be shut up? No, I said Bishop.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'm going to Bishop School.
Where's this going?
I'm sorry.
And I want you guys to really, really,
Do
really.
You mean seminary school?
Yes.
Congratulations. Yes. So I'm going to take a leave of absence for a while, Stephen. I still hope you pay me. So,
Okay, listen to me. You need to cut this music up loud now. You think you're going and you think you're going to go and get paid?
Well, I want to take some vacation days, like about at least 3 months. For me to be a good bishop, I'm going to need at least 3 months.
No, seminary school is longer than that.
Because you were called, right?
I have been called, and I have been accepted.
Who called you?
Lloyd.
The people at the bishop school.
from Bishopville, South Carolina?
It's Bishop University. Anyway.
Do you know that the Lord is supposed to call you to preach?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Right. But
yep. He should, because that's who going to pay him. Yeah. You think I'm going to do it.
But I thought when you all take a leave of absence or vacations, you get
paid. Well, you're not taking a leave of absence. We've already talked about this, Eugene. Let's you and I be upfront and frank about it.
You ain't never been upfront with me about nothing. Well, but go ahead. Right.
And I said, okay, well, I'll allow you to make the announcement on the radio, and that's what I'm doing today.
This is sad.
This is very sad.
See, why are you not crying? Why, I don't hear tears of, you
know. So do we sing the song every day even though he's not here? I like the song. The song was
not
nice.
Gonna sing, no.
Do you know The Butterfly?
Because I do.
So
why aren't any of y'all
so
crying?
When do you start classes?
Monday.
Well, this your last day then.
You don't get a severance pay or nothing, Steve?
Hey, man, yeah, I'll give him severance pay. It's been great knowing you, man.
Nope.
And thank you for all you tried to do to the radio show and the contribution that you've made.
I gave you 13 years of my life, Steve Harvey.
I don't
recall
13.
I'm sad. This is
man, well, hold on, man. We'll talk to you a little bit more since this your last day. We'll be right back with more.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central this morning, comedian Mike Epps, our friend, is going to be our special guest. He's going to tell us about the BET Social Awards. All right, so stick around for that. But right now, Steve, please introduce J. Anthony Brown. He's going to murder a hit. But we got to finish this up with the butterfly. I'm so sad.
Oh, yeah, it is sad. Oh.
You don't sound sad. That,
well, you trying to be genuine?
Why are you trying to be genuine?
I mean, no, really, this it's a rough day for all
this
of us.
This is your sad voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sound like your regular voice.
Eugene came to me, called me last night, and said that he was planning on leaving the show for a while. And I said, well, I think you're going to have to say something to the crew and your fans tomorrow. And so now he's doing it. He'll be signing up for seminary school.
Right.
And starting on Monday. Mm-mm. So today is his last day. Did you want? I wanted to thank you, Eugene, for your service on the show.
For
being
so
an intricate part of it.
Thank you
and,
so much,
you
Stephen.
Know, I'm gonna give you a severance package.
You give him a severance package?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Please don't give it to Tommy. Give it to me.
Okay, I will give it to you. How much do you think the severance package is?
From what I have done and what my participation to this show. At least $130,000.
That sounds fair.
That's,
yeah.
As far as they said.
That does sound fair, okay. But you're not getting that.
It's not that. It's not that at all.
But he's right, though. That does sound fair. You're not getting that.
Okay, so what do you see is, what will it be then?
Well, I'm going to give you a six-month severance package.
6 months.
6 months for all your years here. And, you know... You want turkey? Because we got turkeys for when people
from November
Thanksgiving, y'all.
In the freezer.
But wait a minute. What am I doing with a turkey?
They had them on sale at Walmart.
Am I the only one that's sad about this? I mean, seriously.
No, I'm sad, Shirley.
I'm very sad.
I'm down, too. I'm really down.
I can't take no turkey to Bishop School. You can't.
Well, eat it before you go.
I'm good with this announcement. Because I think in order sometimes for people to grow, you have to go. You know, if you can't grow with it, growth requires you to go oftentimes. And I'm very proud of the fact that he's going,
moving on. So when y'all going to grow? Y'all leaving?
Good
no,
point.
Spread your wings and go.
And you
leaving will help us grow, too.
Carla, we got to plan a party for him or something, a going away party.
Going away
something.
Party.
Yeah.
Would you like butterfly? Would you like
something
that?
Other than a damn turkey?
Well, you got to do something by Sunday because he out of here.
Man. Yeah. All them parties
and
he threw.
Clean out your office, Eugene, and everything.
Golly.
Can we leave the door open in case things don't work out? He can come back at a later date.
No, what you don't do is do that.
So you finna take my key card? I can't. What do you
say? Yes. Yeah,
man, you won't be able to come back in here.
So you're treating me like Amorosa. You finna walk me outside, too?
No, I'm not treating you like Amorosa at all. I think you've been a wonderful addition to the show. And I think the time has come for it to end. And so here we go. I think you're just gonna.
Butterfly, butterfly, butterfly. That's not
you. We gonna miss you so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is just not right.
Fly, butterfly, fly.
Fly, butterfly, fly.
Well,
we gon' miss you so much.
Keep our numbers, butterfly, just in case.
I said, fly, butterfly, fly.
It's just so emotional.
I know.
We gon' miss you so much.
Well, just come back occasionally.
Say, fly, butterfly, fly.
It's so emotional.
We gon' miss you so much.
It's so emotional.
Do you guys hear him crying? Nah, this is not.
And he's just steady singing.
It's so emotional.
Pull yourself together, butterfly. Yeah.
Pull yourself together.
Don't cry, butterfly, cry.
We gon' miss you so much.
My wings are wet.
Yeah, I don't cry, but don't cry.
Prank phone call coming up after
it's
this.
It's so emotional.
Bye, butterfly.
Bye, butterfly.
Bye, bitch.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, Nephew here. He is with today's prank phone call.
You gave me the wrong directions.
Whoa, who is that? Is that another character?
You kill one, I'll bring nothing back.
You gave
me the wrong directions. You gave me the wrong directions.
Steve, you know who that was, don't you?
Here you go.
Papa Ray. Uh-huh. You cannot bring him, not on this show. What you're not going to do is kill your
That was a fine piece of theater.
Yeah, well, it might have been a fine piece of theater, but what you're not going to do is kill a play and this radio show with the same damn person.
Papa Ray was a fine piece of
theater. Yeah, whatever. Well, go back and do it again.
If we had 2 days.
Hey, man, if y'all don't quit laughing at this dude. No, then what you're not going to do is talk about my nephew. You two ungrateful ass. Put y'all in the play, and y'all sit up here telling jokes about it.
Now, you
wasn't even in no damn play until he came along and got
you.
It
was a fine piece of theater.
What you going to stop saying that, because you know it, and you're laughing when you say it.
Yeah. But we had 2 days, that. Though.
But well, you're going to quit talking about your 2 days,
and we had a full week, Steve.
Doug, you don't quit talking about. Hey,
you
Tommy,
gave me the wrong direction. I'm not doing y'all, man.
Tommy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm trying to stop it.
You gave me the wrong directions. Here
that
it is.
That Billman just showed up at my door.
Wait, how did I give you the wrong direction, dog? What'd I do?
That's the name of the prank.
Frank.
Oh, I was finna say, I told you not to throw the plate in.
I called early and didn't get the girl I was trying to get. I called his funeral home. Mm-hmm. Then I called back. So all the workers there knew I was calling. So they finally got on the phone and just created this confusion, like we went to the wrong burial site. Check it out.
Hello, thank you for calling Cemetery. How may I help you?
My name is Frederick Stemmer. Tamara Mick.
Let me see if she's in the office. One moment, please.
Thank you. It just don't make sense for us all to go out there like we did and then to run into these type of problems.
Hello? Hello?
Listen, my name is Frederick Stemmons.
Okay.
Now, my sister's sister is buried out there.
Okay.
And we come out there last week on Monday to come out there and pray over the space where she is. Now, you is the one that told us that it was a few spaces away from the mausoleum. Now, we got out there and prayed over my sister Frances's burial and found out that we was in the wrong space. And they say you was the one that told it to us.
Sir, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You was the one that told us that my sister Frances.
I don't give out spaces. I'm in the administrative office.
I don't know where you work. All I know is you was the one that told us this.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You was the one that my grandbaby said that she talked to the woman named Tamara. And you had us out there standing over some white man's body, and it wasn't
sir,
right.
I'm not a counselor, so I can't tell you where a space is. So your granddaughter lied to you.
Ain't nobody lied to me. You had us out there in the wrong space.
I couldn't have had you in the wrong space because I don't even know the cemetery.
You know what? I'm going to send my grandbaby up there to talk to you.
Okay. I'll be here till 5.
You're very mischievous. You know that?
I'll be here till 5 o'clock. You have a good day.
No, you don't you hang up this phone on me.
You have a good day.
No, I'm not going to have a good day. You had me praying over my sister Frances's body and it was the wrong one. And we're sitting there praying over this white man's body.
Get out of bed and get
it wasn't right. Hello?
I'm listening to you.
You don't have an apology or nothing?
Because I know I didn't tell your granddaughter where a space was.
Then what did you tell her?
I don't even know who your granddaughter is.
What do you mean? The Simmons family. We were not there.
I don't know who the Simmons family is.
It's not Simmons. It's Simmons. Simmons.
I don't know a Simmons family. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not a counselor. I don't even deal with family.
Here's what I need you to do. Can you go out there and pray over my sister body?
I don't know where your sister is buried.
It's supposed to have been 6 spaces away from the mausoleum.
I don't... Are there any spaces?
Yeah.
Where is it at?
Section 2.
We was in section 2, but it was some white man. It wasn't my sister Francis.
Okay, I don't even know who your sister Francis is. I do not even know where section 2 is. Whoever came into the cemetery and said that they spoke to me, they probably did speak to me, and I probably got the information from a counselor, but I never told them exactly where the spot was. So if they were out there praying over your sister and they were in the wrong spot, that's not my problem.
They're praying over some white man.
That's not my problem, sir.
If you gave
the wrong spot.
If you gave the wrong information, it is just my. Let me explain to you.
I don't give the wrong information. Tamron, I told them, yes, she's in section 2. But I did not physically go out there and point to the spot to tell them to pray over that spot.
Let me explain what I'm trying to stop from happening. If my people come up there, it's going to be some more bodies getting buried. And I don't want nobody to get hurt.
Okay, I mean, your family can come up here. It's not going to be no more bodies being buried. What they can do is come up here, right, and we can conversate about this. But it's not going to be an uproar up here.
I want you to go out there and you pray over Francis's body.
I'm not going out to pray over nobody's body.
It's not my family member.
I didn't tell them the wrong information.
Do you love the Lord?
I dearly do.
Then you ought to have some sympathy. I want you to bow your head right now.
No, I'm going to end this conversation.
Gracious
because
God,
I have other work to do. Now, if they
want
to come in and talk to me, I will be here until 5 o'clock.
Can I say one more thing before you go?
You can say one more thing, and I'm ending the call.
Okay.
This Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked, baby.
You are crazy, okay?
Your sister Tamika set you up, baby. And you just got it, baby, from Nephew Tommy. Boy, you were standing your ground. You like, no, just because you wasn't prayed over the wrong body, that don't mean nothing. I ain't got nothing to do with that. All right, check it out. You got to tell me one thing. What's the baddest radio show in the land?
That was cute.
Boy, Tommy.
Boy, I'm trying to stay in the character.
So her co-workers in the background, they knew.
Because
about
I'd already
prank.
Called earlier, but she wasn't at work yet.
Oh, okay.
So I called. There it is. We out at the cemetery. Wow. Wrong direction.
You are going you gave me the wrong direction.
Oh, man, you could
that
do
was pretty good.
Ray. We bring it back. Yeah, you could do Papa
you
Ray.
Could be Papa
you
Ray.
Don't ask me to do no Papa Ray.
You could be Papa Ray, man.
Papa Ray won't get on this show and ruin it like I did that play.
He Papa Steve. What is this?
What you ain't gonna? You shut up, Tommy.
Papa Ray.
I told you back then not to bring me out.
You sound like Sid in the barbershop, don't you?
You gonna bring me out and then put me in the play and now all of a sudden don't nobody want to hear from me.
That's who Sid was. Sid was Papa Ray in barbershop.
I was doing fine when I was dead. You gonna resurrect me just to kill me.
Oh, God.
And who the hell got my money anyway? I didn't never find out. What was the play for?
Get my prank call.
We was in the play. We never found out who had the money.
Prank call CD is
That's
in Walmart.
The play ended at intermission.
It's in Walmart.
That's how empty it was. Get y'all ass out at halftime. We ain't got the money to do that.
Won't he
play.
Do it, prank CD in Walmart?
Won't he do it? He ain't do Bobby Ray.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Strawberry Letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today's Strawberry Letter is up next, and it is a good one. But first, bravo, and a huge thank you to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. She gave a marathon speech. What was it, like 8 hours or something?
Yes. She stood there.
Yeah, in support of Democrats' hopes to legalize the status of the young immigrants known as Dreamers. The more than 8-hour speech is the longest given by any House member in at least 100 years and possibly in history. And the 77-year-old did it standing the entire time. Get this, in 4-inch heels. Yes!
Go ahead.
Go,
yes! Go with your
yes!
Best
girl
self,
power! Yes! 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 Love that.
That's the main thing right there, huh?
Yes, in 4-inch heels. And she did not take a bathroom break, okay?
She's bad.
Depends.
Depends.
Either that or an iron bladder.
Mrs. Pelosi started speaking.
Are you allowed a bathroom break when you filibuster?
I think that's the point of filibustering,
yeah,
right?
I don't think
you got to stay there, yeah. Because if you leave, somebody else can take your spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Just pee right there. Yeah. Just stand there and pee.
Yeah, huh?
Just don't drink any water. How about that?
Why is anyway, his eyes rolling the back of his head?
She started speaking shortly after 10 a.m. and finished shortly after 6 p.m. As minority leader, she has the right to speak as long as she wants. During the marathon speech, she said that she would lead opposition to the 2-year budget agreement negotiated in the Senate because it does not address the legal status of those protected by DACA, the Deferred Action Childhood Arrivals program that expires in March. Okay, next month. Get ready for that. All right, nephew.
She did a good job.
Yes. Yeah, bravo.
Yes, she did. And
but
4-inch
like I said,
heels.
They still didn't put the vote up, so they didn't put the vote up.
Yeah. All right, let's get it. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
Subject, should I give up on my best friend? Dear Stephen Shirley, I have been best friends with someone for 18 years. This relationship was strictly platonic for this period until I finally gave in year 19 to become more than just friends. After 2 years of this, I realized that there will be no commitment on his part, so I went ahead and explained to him that I cannot continue with this relationship and I need some kind of commitment. Even though he claims that he has been with no one else, I thought after all these years of being friends, we would have at least been engaged by this time. Since I broke off the intimate relationship, he keeps calling me and wants me to be intimate with him, to which I promptly hang up and ignore him. I guess he did not get it or understand what I said to him. The issue is this. Should I just give up on being friends with this man who has been my best friend for so long or try to reason with him to get him to understand me? P.S. I am a woman. All right. Dear my sister, you know, all this stuff really should be discussed and worked out if you guys are friends before you cross that line. You know, you guys have been friends for 18 years, and on the 19th, you decide to give in to him. But what do you guys talk about in those 18 years? I mean, after you do something like this, then you really get to see how close you guys are as friends. Now you're friends with benefits. He obviously, you know, was saying whatever to you just to get you in bed at the time. And he still wants to do that. You know, I do applaud you, though, for getting it finally and realizing that there is no commitment here. It's just, you know, a sexual relationship between you two. I don't know what happened to the friendship. Looks like it just went out the door. I mean, you can try to be friends with this guy if you want to, but I don't think it's going to work. I think you crossed the line and you kind of messed it up. And now he's only interested in, you know, being your bed partner. So, I mean, if I were you, I'd just leave it alone. You know, maybe down the road sometime you guys can be friends again, just platonic friends again. But right now, no. Steve?
I kind of have to disagree with you on this one, Shirley.
Okay.
Just because of a couple of things in this letter. Mm-hmm. And then I have a little inside track on how men think. You remember the other day, I said that once men think of you in terms of just for sex, they normally don't graduate you to the next level.
Yeah.
You remember I said that?
I do.
Okay. All right, let's keep that in mind. Okay, now, here's the deal. This woman says she's been best friends with someone for 18 years, strictly platonic, until I finally gave in year number 19. That's the key to this whole letter, year 19, which means 18 years. Little hey, what's happening? You know, just keeping on that string, talking as friends. And they probably formed a really good friendship over that time because there was nothing more to it. But he just kept on. Here's the only mistake that was made. And I've said it 1,000 times. And like Shirley said, this is the part I agree. Y'all been talking for 18 years. You didn't discuss this at all for 18 years? Hell, you way beyond the 90-day rule.
Yeah.
you in the 18, you had time to figure out everything. But guess what? There's too many holes in this letter and stuff you'd act like you don't know nothing about. You finally gave in year 19 to become more than friends. After 2 years of this, I realized that there will be no commitment. It took you 2 years to figure out there would be no commitment. Well, in the 2 years of sleeping with him, was a commitment a requirement? Or did you just foolishly set yourself out there after 18 years of talking and just put yourself out there and no commitment after 18 years of talking to this guy? This should have been nothing but a commitment from you. For this to even move to the next level. Hell, you become best friends. I hear people say it all the time. It's better to become friends with a person than lovers. I hear that all the time.
Friends first.
If you don't set your standards and requirements up in the beginning, you can flip it around. I'll show you how to do it when we come back. But you could flip it around. I thought after all those years of being friends, we could at least have been engaged by this time. You thought you could be engaged. You did not require that you be engaged. And it could be very true that he's been with no one else, but you thought after all those years that we would at least been engaged by now. That's what you thought. That was never a requirement in the beginning. It's really not too late for you or anybody else that finds themselves in a situation like that. I will tell you something that you can attempt to do when we come back, and it'll work if he's feeling you and loving you. Now, if he's not loving you, this response that I'm going to give you when I come back will not work.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, listen. Coming up, Steve Harvey and our friend Stephen A. Smith are going to be talking about this big Cleveland Cavaliers trade with Isaiah Thomas. This is big news. Yeah, this is big news. Wait till you hear this one. So that's coming up. Also, Mike Epps is coming up. We'll talk about that as well. But right now, let's go, Steve, with part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter.
Should I give up on my best friend? First of all, this woman was in a platonic relationship with this man for 18 years. And then year 19, she says in the letter, until I finally gave in year 19, became more than friends. But after 2 years, she realized that there's going to be no commitment on his part. So I explained to him that I cannot continue with this relationship. I need some kind of commitment. Even though he claims he's been with no one else, all those years of being friends, after all of this, she figured all those years of being friends that we would at least have been engaged by now. I've reminded her that if you do not make the engagement a requirement, see, men, let me share something with you all. Women have a dream of getting married one day. Most women, not all, but most. Most women dream of their wedding day. They prepare for it from the times they're kids. Okay, a man does not dream of his wedding day. A man only dreams of the woman of his dreams. Do you understand me?
Yeah, gotcha.
So see, if we can get the woman of our dreams without the wedding day, hell, we cool. Get that through your head. We cool. If you can help us with our dreams, support us, give us that sweet, sweet loving you've given us, you know, help us with the bills, give us some kids, we cool. We have the woman of our dreams.
You don't have to put a ring on it.
We don't have to.
Every man ain't like that, though, right?
No. I'm just saying, no man dreams of his wedding day. The wedding day is usually the dream of a woman. Understand what I'm saying. Now, there are plenty of men who will ask you to marry them, but these are usually men who know that that's a requirement of yours.
Now, I didn't know that, Steve, really, that men didn't. No. I know women do, but I didn't know that.
Look, they've got bridal shops. They got bridal magazines, wedding planners. Guys have a tuxedo shop. And when we get through with the tux, we take it back. Come on now. Women keep their dress in storage for years, pick out the veil, what color flutes, what the invitation's going to look like. God, I don't give a damn about none of that. Mm. We just want the girl. The day is your day. If you don't make your day a priority, then it's not a priority in our heart. We just want you. And if we can get you without all that, then we'll do it. But if we know that that's a requirement to have you, then bam, that's how we do it. So if you're in a relationship and it's been going on for a while and you want to change the game, then you have to change the requirements to play the game. And if a guy loves you and wants to continue to play the game, then he'll give you what you want. You have got to get what you want.
So you're saying there's a chance for her to be with this guy?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely there is a chance. But it has to be a requirement. But see, guess what? He keep calling back asking for the sex.
Yep.
But if she go back and just have it without the requirement being met, she's taking the right step.
Yeah,
she just
got
to stay to it. Mm-hmm. She's taking the right step. She just had to stay to it and sit this guy down. Because they got to be of some age right
yep.
about now.
Yep.
You know, they've got to be a little bit older than 25. Mm-hmm. So make your move and hold to it. And if he's loving you, he'll do it. If he don't love you, he's not going to do it.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. Switching gears now. Now, Carla, you know, we love us some Teyana Taylor. I mean,
ooh, that's
you know,
a bad girl.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's fit. She's a wife. She's a mom. Mm-hmm. All those things. She's very, very talented. And Steve, Teyana, if you know this, recently celebrated your daughter Lori's 21st birthday in Cabo. last month. Yeah. Well, now Teyana Taylor is adding nail salon entrepreneur to her resume. She's a singer, she's a dancer, actress, all of that. She recently announced she's opening Junie B. Nails, named after her daughter, in New York. Teyana posted a snap on the gram of what appears to be construction underway for the shop and captioned the post, "Thinking of a Master Plan," a 90s-themed nail salon. Yeah, in Harlem, right? The vision has finally come to life, and it's ready. Yeah. So come one, come all, and no matter what shape, size, color, or gender, it's all good with us. She says she wants to continue to create great opportunities for her community and our talented youth.
It's a good business, Jay. So, Jay, you saying that's a great idea,
it is
a nail salon.
Excellent idea. Let me tell you why nail salons make so much money.
Why?
Because it is a continuous business that women just say they got to get their nails done.
That's true.
They got to get their hair done. They got to get their feet done. And when you have a nail shop, you have repeat customers. Your customers, they're constantly coming in all the time.
Yeah.
It's something that women are going to do.
Yeah.
Get their nails done. Get their hair done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got that
and men, too.
Right
men go, men
and if you open like 20, if you open 24 hours, some men get their feet done. I can't go because there's a toenail that, it get ugly when you take that sock off when they see it.
What's wrong with that toe?
What's wrong with this, dog? What's wrong with your toe? What's wrong with your toe? just buff the other one. Don't worry about that. Why your toe looking like that? Just soak them. Soak them all, okay?
They're calling other technicians over.
Everybody put food down. Come look at home.
Everybody come over. They're coming out the back.
So I don't go in there. Why you still got sock on? Because I just want you to do one toe, okay? Do one foot. Don't worry about the other.
I'm paying the full price.
I'm paying the full price, but you're just doing one foot.
I want to get that other foot done, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great business.
Do you make appointments, Jay, or do you just walk in?
You can make appointments at nail shops, or you can walk
no,
in.
No, do you? Do you?
We know that, Jay.
So you go early.
When I'm...
When ain't nobody
there. What time? Is you guy with the bat toe? Yeah, that's me. Okay. You ain't gotta say all
you
that.
You gotta
all
make a way.
Hey, what? Make sure bat toe guy come day.
I need my keys. I'm leaving.
You think you better?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't laugh.
All right. Don't forget, coming up, we have Mike Epps in the building. And then Stephen and Steve Harvey and Stephen A. Smith are going to talk sports.
Stephen A.
Yeah.
Stephen A.
Coming up next.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, comedian Mike Epps will be our special guest. He's going to tell us about the BET Social Awards airing this Sunday.
Hey, folks, being from Cleveland, I had to get my main boy on the phone to explain this blockbuster trade to me that the Cavs and the Lakers did. Ladies and gentlemen, the one of the greatest sports commentators living today, Stephen A. Smith.
What?
Stephen
A.
Stephen A.
The crew. The crew. What's going on, y'all? What's
Stephen
going on?
Stephen A., just explain it all. What happened? Why did it happen? What does this mean?
Well, it doesn't mean much to you, my brother from Cleveland. I'm sorry to inform you. This does not equal championship. It does stop the bleeding. It does stop the bleeding. It does stop the hemorrhaging. Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. are young brothers who can play. They're going to be a bit more consistent. And more importantly, they're devoid of the drama. They're going to be out there. They're going to go on the court. They're going to be about the business of performing and doing their job. I do think that with all that has happened in Cleveland this year, there's various teams that could have easily knocked y'all off, meaning Boston, Toronto, to name a few. But when you get Nance Jr. and you get Clarkson, I definitely think that helps you immensely. And I do think that, you know, the ship will get steered in the right direction, and at least you'll probably get back to the finals.
Okay. Thank you.
But it ain't enough to beat Golden State.
No,
it ain't. Throw that in.
Who they trade?
It ain't, man. Hey, man, is Larry Nance a good player? Do we have two good players coming to Cleveland?
Yeah, well, Clarkson can put the ball in the hole. He's not a point guard, but you can put him at the two spot, and he'd be more consistent than a JR. And I think that's a plus in that regard. So, again, you'll be devoid of the drama. Because, Steve, here's what's going on in your town. LeBron James came into the season. He didn't want Kyrie traded. He wanted to keep Kyrie, even though he was one of the people that didn't mind Kyrie getting traded. There was a deal initially on the table where y'all could have had Eric Bledsoe and Paul George. But in order to make the move, the ownership wanted LeBron to commit. He wouldn't commit. LeBron wanted them to keep Kyrie after that fell through, but they wanted him to commit. He wouldn't commit. So Gilbert said, the hell with it. Why should I listen to you? Trade Kyrie, because Kyrie was talking about how he was going to suddenly be injured if you didn't trade him. So you had to make that move. You get Crowder and Isaiah Thomas in return. LeBron wasn't happy about that. So he and Dan Gilbert are on opposite ends of the spectrum, butting heads with one another, because Gilbert wants him to commit for years. LeBron wants to be a free agent this summer. And as a result, since they can't reach an accord, everybody else is suffering. Tristan Thompson's messing with one of the Kardashians. Kevin Love is stuck in the middle.
Tell it all, Stephen.
Let me tell you something right now, y'all. You know I got a recovering role on General Hospital. And damn it, this soap opera in Cleveland was better than General Hospital.
hey, Stephen A., before you get out of here, what is LeBron going to do at the end of the season? Will he test the free agent market?
Well, he definitely will test the free agent market, because he has a no-trade clause that he refuses to waive. Because in Dan Gilbert's perfect world, let me tell you something right now, Dan Gilbert and them so disgusted, they wouldn't mind LeBron leaving because of the drama they believe and they're trying to perpetrate that he puts out there. But he's not going to waive his no-trade clause. He's going to stay with the team, then approach free agency. And if you don't put yourself in a position to make some kind of blockbuster move, I think LeBron's going to be gone. But it remains to be seen who's going to be in a position to get him. Remember, he wants max dollars, and he deserves it because he's the best in the world. So you're talking about a five-year deal in excess of $200 million. How many people are going to have that room available, and who's LeBron going to want to go to where you can afford to pay him while keeping the nucleus of your team intact so you can compete for a championship? I don't know who that answer is. Some people say Houston. Some people say San Antonio. To a lesser degree, they're saying the Lakers. One minute you're hearing Paul George would love to play with LeBron. Another minute you're hearing him say, hell no, because you know what? I love being here at OKC with Russell Westbrook. We don't know anything other than it's all about drama, which is exactly how LeBron likes it, regardless of what he says.
Can Houston go to the championship?
No. Yes, they can.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
I think they're the biggest threat to Golden State right now because James Harden is clearly the leading candidate for league MVP honors, and Chris Paul is sensational as well. Together, they're 25-3 with one another in the lineup together. They can put the ball in the hole. They spread the basketball. Other guys have stepped up, but that's in the regular season. In the postseason, where you don't have back-to-back, where you get to lock down, and Golden State has all these long defenders, James Harden with CP3 is going to have to be otherworldly in order for them to do it. That's the only condition under which they can beat Golden State, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they could pull it off because James Harden, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. He is the heir apparent to Kobe Bryant. He has arrived.
Thank you.
He is the leading candidate for league MVP, and he is unstoppable.
Thank you. Stephen A. I think LeBron is looking at Houston.
Yeah, so do I.
I think that's what's going to happen because that's the only way to compete with Golden State.
But you're right, Steve, but here's the problem. They've already guaranteed CP3 max dollars. Yeah. You re-upped James Harden where over the course of the next 5 years, he's making about $228 million. How much money you got?
Then let's get rid of all the rest of them players. Total that money.
Get rid of.
We got CP3, one of the best point guards in the game, and we got the two greatest scorers out there, arguably next with Steph and Durant on the other team. We can go 4-on-5.
I'm gonna end it this way. NBA rules and bylaws stipulate you must have 5 guys on the court at the same time.
Okay?
So you gotta pay the other 2 guys at least that you have to have, and you're supposed to have at least a roster of 12 to 15.
Hey, dog, I'll go out there and throw the ball in. I bet you that.
you want me to tell you what I bet you on, Steve?
What?
I bet you wouldn't do it for minimum salary. Not today's NBA economy.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Not with the money.
That's the end of this discussion.
Thank you, Stephen A. We love you.
Love y'all, too. Take it easy.
Coming up, Mike Epps.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, as promised, everybody, we got a special guest on the phone. Longtime family member, friend of ours.
Yes, sir.
One of the great stand-ups of our time has really made a run of it. But he's a movie star, television star. Producing. He's all of that. And now he's producing. He's got a new show coming out on BET, the Social Media Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, of BET's first ever Social Awards. It airs Sunday at 10 p.m. and we're going to find out more about it. Please welcome the legend, Mike Epps.
Mike Epps!
Morning.
Oh, yo, what up? What up, Jay? What up, Tommy?
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, man, we got a nice award show coming up, man. Where we're gonna be honoring the best of 2017 honorees who made a big impact on social media. We got a lot of good categories, man. I think this is gonna be good,
so, Mike,
man. This is a new wave. Yes, sir.
Mike, let me ask you something. When y'all talk about social media awards, y'all going, like, all through social media finding out, like, best clips or biggest views and stuff like that? What is it exactly?
Yeah, well, we got different categories, Steve. We got a category called It's a Wave. And a It's a Wave category is a category to honor the music people that have made an impact on social media, like 21 Savage and Uzi Vert. And then we got another category called Laugh My A Off. And it's got people like DC Young Fly, Just Hilarious. We got different categories that people are going to be under who made an impact in 2017. Right. So they're going to be receiving an award.
Hey, Mike, y'all got best ass whooping on there? Because I saw an incredible ass whooping on YouTube.
That's boy, you know that's on there.
Yeah, I'm saying go. Hey, man, you got Michael Blackston is hosting the show.
That boy's stupid right there.
So crazy.
That
boy,
okay. Who thought of this here?
Yes.
Hey, you know what? Michael Blackston, he is so present on social media.
Yeah.
And his outfits are so crazy. And, you know, because he's really a neutral guy. We was like, that's the guy to play you with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's funny, too. He's very funny.
Well, man, you had on this show at the BET Social Awards, it's going to be following everybody, some of the biggest moments, hashtags and trends of the year. It's a one-hour show. And it's live from Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta.
Okay, TP.
Hey, okay, yeah.
Man, nice. I didn't know he had a big arena like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just bought the old army base down there.
Yeah, he got the whole base, man.
Really nice. Base.
So this from his new spot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that boy making that. Go on.
Yeah, it's like a city down there. And from what I heard, you know, people. They hurry up and made this a note for me. They said you can get arrested on his studio. Hey, man, you know, but I think this is going to be good. I think the kids is going to enjoy it, man. I mean, it's the new wave, man. You know, a lot of older people, they can't really get with it. You know what I mean? And I can remember flyers on people's cars and stuff like that, man. Yeah. So,
well, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
There were over 13 million votes for these categories that we're going to see Sunday night. Social media is selling more things than TV commercials nowadays. So let me ask you something, Mike. You think this is going to be an annual show?
I think it is, Steve. I think this is the first one. We kind of got a little bit of pushback from the celebrities because they didn't quite know what it was. But I think after they see it this year, everybody's going to be more comfortable with it. Because when you say social media sometimes, you want to cross celebrities in it, they kind of get nervous about it because they don't know which direction they're going. You know, because you can be embarrassed and all kinds of different stuff on social media. So after they see this year, I think they're going to know what it is and embrace it. And it's going to be good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Well, man, we're going to be tuning in Sunday night, Mike. To check it out, we'll be watching for that fool, Michael Blackson.
I'm gonna give him Michael the show Blackson just because he's just fool, ignorant.
He's just so funny.
But then you ignorant. I don't know how the hell they got Mike Epps, the executive producer.
You mother sucker.
Yeah,
the BET Social Award premieres this Sunday night, February 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern on BET. Hey, Epps, we got love for you, boy. Kill him.
Hey, man, much love out there, man. And, I'm just praying that I'm just hoping that I don't know Quincy Jones, man, right now.
Man, what the hell, Quincy?
Quincy opened up a can, didn't
he? He's 84.
He opened up a can, man.
Dog, Quincy scanned me.
Yeah.
I might have been out to his house.
Man,
I hope
Quincy
he don't
put
tell
everybody business out there. Man.
You just been to his house,
please. Yeah. Quite a few times, man. I'm sitting up here nervous trying to remember.
He's been a guest on the show.
What are we doing?
He's been a guest.
What'd I say?
Make sure you know.
Mike is cracking up.
I've been looking in the mirror trying to see if I done had something done to my nose. Remember?
Yeah, he.
What women was out there at Quincy's house?
I remember.
Quincy said, I'm telling it all.
He's 84.
I'm telling it all. Around his neck today.
Boy, y'all crazy. Right now,
when I was over there, Ivanka wasn't over there. So that's all I got to say.
Just telling everything.
Keep me out of that.
Don't put it out, man. I remember Steve Harvey was over here.
All right, man. I appreciate that, man. Y'all tune in Sunday, man.
Much love, right, Mike.
See you Sunday, man.
The BET Social Awards premieres this Sunday night, February 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern on BET. Thank you, Mike Epps. We love you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, listen. Millennials are going broke. I think we all have millennials.
I got one that's broke. I got one that's damn sure broke.
Yeah.
I don't have one. Generation
You have a you have one of those, Carla. We all have millennials here. They say they're going broke because of social media, though. According to research by Allianz Life, 57% of millennials, that's compared to 28% of Gen Xers and 7% of baby boomers, say they've spent money they didn't have because of something they saw on social media.
They buy online, they do.
Yeah, with our money, right?
And not keeping aware of how much money they got, right?
Facebook got some good stuff out there.
They do, man.
They be running some good stuff.
But we have jobs. We can buy it. Our kids. Seems lots of millennials feel pressure to keep up appearances, with nearly 50% saying they are influenced by their friends' posts of lavish vacations and lifestyles. Now, according to the survey, social media has become the millennials' financial Achilles heel. All right?
Okay. Yeah. I believe it.
You agree?
Mm-hmm. We did not have that problem.
No. On a Polaroid if you saw it.
Because when you were cutting grass and collecting bottles and all that stuff to get money, it was a whole different story. You saved your money.
It was a hustle.
Yeah.
It was a hustle, right.
Or you got allowances.
I cut a lot of yards.
I think it's more reactionary spending available to young people now. Compulsive spending, I mean. You know, I think they could just press a button and it's done.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, it wasn't we had to get up, go to the store, find it all. Like, it's, you can just do compulsive buying. Mm-hmm. And you can press a button, and I got that. Oh, I got that, and I got that. And next thing you know, no, you don't have that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big cause of it right there. The accessibility of everything, and it's so easy to do.
Right. We didn't give them a credit card to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because the parents, you guys live a better lifestyle than how our parents did.
Yeah.
So you're able to give your kids more.
Provide. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you got to give them a debit card because that's everything set up on that.
I know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want them carrying the cash.
Oh, no.
So you give them a debit card. But you've got to teach them, and that's the struggle. My boys are better at it. Well, Morgan's really good with money, but Morgan and her husband are very, very self-sufficient. Carly and her husband are very self-sufficient. Brandy's out. She's self-sufficient. My oldest son, I don't have to concern myself with him. Lori and Winton, they lost their damn mind.
Well,
because them
the
two that's always had it good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Them two right there, they ain't had no dog.
Now, are you still in the given situation of their lives? Meaning if they don't have it, I am.
Yeah. My daughters,
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they come to me with a situation.
But it's always a situation.
I mean, I'm going to help them before I have to let them have to go to some man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll help them before they have to go to some man, because then I know that come with some stipulations.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One of my daughters just texted me today. You know, they make me sick, though, the way they text. Hey, Dad. You know what?
But put something with it.
Can I get a hello?
Can I get a how are you today?
Hello.
Yeah.
It's really not a lot behind the big in that they do, because it's so short. It's not creative.
But don't text me, hey, Dad, question mark. Mm-hmm. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I got stuff to do. Yeah. But they text like they talk. Hey, Dad. And then they wait on you to go, hey, girl. And then they go, what you doing? And then it took me forever to find out what WYD was.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know what the hell that was. So I said, walking down.
I love our millennials. I love them.
And then I won't go back and forth like that. And I don't have that kind of time. So I ignore the hey, Dad text.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Mm-hmm. You know what,
because
they want.
I don't have time to take back, go, hey, you. Mm-hmm. How you doing today? How you doing? WYD? I ain't got time for that.
Figure out
what y'all talking about.
What all these letters mean?
No, you know,
I wish they had what we had, just a J.C. Penney catalog.
Man, if I want something from my parents, you better get busy.
My daughter said, what could I do to get $1,500? I said, you could call somebody else. That's what
All right, we'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
We've been talking about this. Quincy Jones has been saying a lot of interesting things lately. You remember last week we talked about his 22 girlfriends. He said he had 22 girlfriends.
We was cool with that.
Yeah, around the world he talked about that. But at one time he says he also dated the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump. Now, this is an interview he gave with Vulture magazine. Quincy says that the matchmaker was none other than Tommy Hilfiger.
Come on here.
Yeah. He says, I used to date Ivanka. Tommy Hilfiger, who was working with my daughter, Kadada, said Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. And yes, he was interested.
Keep going. There's more.
Steve, please keep listening, because this line coming up is for you.
I'm listening.
But didn't... And yes, he was interested, but didn't dig her dad back then either. She's
didn't
a
dig the cat.
Right.
You know, Quincy used them words.
Yeah. She's a fine mother. Blanker, he notes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life.
Now, was that by that rug? Was it? Was never mind.
Hey, dog. I'm sorry. Dog. Just,
that's
you
Melania.
Think of Melania, yeah.
You.
Yeah. Q also shared that he used to hang out with Donald Trump, whom he described as a crazy mother blanker. Limited mentally, megalomaniac, and narcissistic. I can't stand him.
Wow.
Asked what his first thoughts about the Beatles, Quincy remarked, they were the worst musicians in the world.
Yeah. I thought they rock and roll Hall of Famers.
They couldn't play instruments.
They were no playing mother blankers.
We love you, yeah.
It was something we'd never seen before.
Right.
And it
was totally the drumming and the guitars, no.
Ringo was known to be the worst drummer, and not only that, they would overdub his drumming in a lot of sessions.
Oh, so them them mother blankers wasn't no.
He said they were no playing.
Wow. I mean, look, man, they had never been seen before, and they became iconic. Now, don't take that away from them. Uh-huh. The Beatles are iconic.
Yeah, legends. They were great songwriters. Okay.
They will go down in history. And when you broke them down, McCartney and all them boys.
You're bad boys.
Lennon and them boys were some bad boys. Right. Just as a group, instrumentation-wise is what I believe Quincy's saying. Now, that's really true because if you listen to Beatles records, man, they weren't great musicians. You're talking to a guy who's one of the greatest composers of our time.
Oh, absolutely. And
which
producers.
Is why the Beatles covered up. When they went live, they did a lot of cover songs of black artists that, you know, Shake It Up, Baby, by the Isley
Brothers. And they stole a lot.
And they stole a lot. They're absolutely right, you know.
They were no playing, and that's what he said. Okay, and then talking about Michael Jackson, because you knew, he knew Michael Jackson very well.
Very well.
Yeah, he produced Thriller, biggest selling album of all time, all that.
Yes.
Quincy also alleges that Michael Jackson stole a lot of stuff. We're going to have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, Steve. We've come to the end of our show. Wow, a lot of stuff happened on this show today. So here we go with just one more thing and your closing remarks.
Today I want to talk something about fear. Yesterday we talked about disappointment.
Yeah.
Today I want to talk to you about fear. Fear is a very, very real emotion. Everybody experiences it on some level or another. There's not a person alive that does not experience fear on some level. Don't you believe that for a minute? I face it all the time. I know a lot of other people who face it. I know some very, very successful people who have had to face it and continue to face it. Fear is so big and so prevalent today that the number one cause of failure is fear. Nothing produces more failure than does fear. It is the fear of failure that freezes people before they even start. It is the fear of failure that causes you to second guess. It is the fear of failure that causes you not to want to deal with the rejection and the potential hurt that failure causes. So fear cripples you on so many levels. Fear is the number one cause of failure in this country. Okay, but how is it that some people somehow manage to get by anyway? What is it that you can do that would help you overcome whatever fear you're facing? Well, here's what I was taught. And this has helped me in my life, my career, my family, my jobs, my ambition, everything. To overcome fear, you overcome fear with your dreams. I want y'all to listen to me closely now. How do you overcome fear? You overcome fear with your dreams. Steve, how my dreams gonna make me overcome my fear? Because I want you to listen to me. Because the dream is everything. The Bible says a man without a dream or a vision shall perish. The dream is everything. See, if you have no dreams and visions, you'll perish. You will die in fear. You will die sitting somewhere in fear without dreams or visions. Dreams are the counterpoint to all fear. Because listen to this. If you dream, I want you to dream so big. I want you to want something so incredible. I want you to dream of having something that's so spectacular that if it doesn't happen, you would be miserable. Man, if I don't make this dream come true, I'm going to be miserable. I want you to dream so big that not attaining that dream would absolutely be horrible for you. I want you to dream so big that not reaching your dreams is unacceptable. You cannot live in this world without the dream and the vision. You can live in this world without your mother, your father, your brother. You can live in this world without a wife, a husband. You can live in this world without a lot of things. But what you cannot live in this world without is dreams and visions. You will perish without those things. You have to dream of something and want something. That's what keeps pushing you forward. So if you want to overcome your fear, you do it with your dreams. Dream big, man. And dream so big that it is unthinkable that you can't have this dream come true. And here's the side note. God is in the make your dream come true business. Ain't he? He do it all the time. I'm telling you, man, God does it all the time. He makes people's dreams come true. What are you dreaming about? Explore what you're really dreaming about so you can lose your fear. You're afraid to open your business because if your business fails, you'll lose the money you saved, and you won't open your business because you might lose your job when your boss finds out. Dream bigger. Dream of what opening that business could do for you. The feeling of freedom that you would have. The extra money you could make. What you could do for your family, the things you could leave a legacy of. Maybe your dream ain't big enough. Maybe you got the dream of owning a large company. Maybe a mom and pop store. Maybe you dream of climbing the corporate ladder. Maybe you're dreaming of becoming the supervisor or the CEO of the company. You got the dream so big, man, that if this dream don't happen, you'll be miserable. You have to dream so big that it becomes, it's no way you can accept your life without this dream. Once you can do that, you can press through your fears. You can move forward. You can get on with it. I'm telling y'all, I was taught this. To overcome fear, you overcome fear with your dreams. Dream so big that if it don't happen, you'll be miserable. Dream so big that if you don't attain it, it'll be horrible. Dream so big that you can't imagine your life without living your dreams. And then guess what? It will supply the fortitude, the strength, and the courage to face your fear and move on with your life. Dreams is the key to overcoming your fear. Y'all have a good weekend. I sure am. Going to get my nails done.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.